God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light," because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. There is all around us a sign, signs, multiple signs, that young people have been indoctrinated. It's almost a cliche to say it. I mean, it's so obvious. And sometimes, though, the depth of the indoctrination is not obvious until we really step back from news cycle, well, obsession, and reorient ourselves. What is the truth, for instance, about Israel and the Israeli people? What is the truth about that? The Bible is the holy, complete, inerrant Word of God, written down by men, inspired by the Lord. It's also one of the best detailed history books ever written. Probably the best. It matches up archaeologically. It matches up scientifically. It matches up geographically. Every time the experts think they've found something to negate the Bible's view of history, they're proven wrong. Every time. So what is the history of Israel? The way this is being taught in schools is so evident and so pernicious and so purposeful that one has to ask behind this, what exactly is the motivation? Why did academics decide, you know what, we need to attack Israel? Why? Well, all things, in my view, are spiritual, because God runs everything. There's no such thing as a secular this or a secular that. The things that occur in the world, God allows to occur. It's his world. It's his place. He's the boss. He's the king, period. He doesn't negotiate with us. He loves us, he pursues us, even when we just utterly fail, even when we fall so short, even as we need to seek redemption first thing in the morning, and forgiveness, he's with us. So why the motivation for academics to go after Israel? Is it because it's the one functional democracy in the Middle East? Maybe. Much more likely, though, in my mind, is a spiritual force. Satan hates Israel. He hates the covenant. He wants desperately to make God a liar. Think of it from his point of view. If he were to make God a liar, Satan would suddenly have even more hope in his delusion that he's going to win. He's already lost. He's lost because when God says a thing, he's done the thing, even if it hasn't happened in our timeline yet. There is no timeline for God. But it's all around us. These are some schoolgirls outside of London, and they're about 10 years old, and I just ask, where do you think they learned things like this?
My name's Athena. I'm from Wolverhampton. I'm 10 years old, and I'm supporting Palestine because it's not fair to just literally just kill people for the sake of it. They're saying that they're Jews, but they aren't, because Jewish people, some do support Palestine. They're actually Zionists, and that this is a genocide, so, you know, why not?
Can you tell me about the history of Palestine?
The history of Palestine is in 1948, the UN made a plan to make Palestine Zion Israel's and create the state of Israel, which is not true. By doing this, they killed the Palestinians to make only Israel people in that state.
Do you know about the West, like Britain and the USA's involvement in Palestine?
The involvement of Joe Biden and Rishi Sunak is like unacceptable. They should be standing with the Palestinians because they know human rights.
The man who's questioning them, by the way, appears to be Middle Eastern. Just given his dress and skin color, he appears to be Middle Eastern. Of course, there are whole areas of London now that are just the Middle East. There are no-go zones. The very, very liberal magazine, Vice, before it ran into the ultimate financial trouble, they actually sent reporters in to an area. And to their credit, they went to go investigate what they called the so-called no-go zones. What they found out was it's not so-called. Upon driving into those communities, they were threatened. You don't belong here. Why? Well, because you have white faces. So this level of indoctrination of young people, those are 10-year-olds. Where did they learn that? Well, obviously they learned it in school, perhaps from their parents who learned it at school. So why the focus on Israel? Why the lies? One can go back to the Bible, the ultimate source of history, and find out what actually is the source of Israel. Oh, I see. It predates the Palestinians by a long time. In fact, it was in the Bible, as I recall, where God actually allowed some of the enemies of the Jewish people to seize part of the land and, in fact, named them after one of their enemies, or named that land after one of their enemies, which is now seen as Palestine. Now, the history on this is one thing, and one could even, I guess, if you want to be charitable, debate that. But the hatred is another. Hatred, we're told, is taught. I believe that's true. I believe we have a sin issue. The Bible makes that clear, so I don't believe it. I know it. We all have sin issues. But this level of hatred for the Jewish people, this comes from what? This is a former Jewish student of the University of Pennsylvania. So what he decided to do is take a couple of cameras and a couple of lawyers with him to his alma mater. And listen to what happens as he just decided, see what will happen if I, a Jew, decide I'd like to visit my alma mater, the University of Pennsylvania.
Hello, I'm Zach Sage Fox at my alma mater, the University of Pennsylvania. I'm going to go check out the encampment.
We're asking folks not to film inside the
encampment. Do you have any legal right to say that?
I don't know if I do.
All right, you guys will be hearing from my lawyers. What are your thoughts? Do they have any right to tell me I can't come in?
University property. That's not valid.
Kind of violate the consent of a ton of people.
Aren't you guys violating the consent of the university who's asked you guys not to be here?
These are students.
Are you a student?
I'm here to support students.
When they're talking about outside agitators, you are the outside agitator.
Okay, who here's actually a student? You're clearly a 45-year-old man.
I'm a legal observer.
You're not a lawyer.
I'm asking you not to go in there.
There's no right to privacy.
You want to violate the consent of...
There's no consent on property that's not theirs.
I have the right to walk around the campus. Now you're blasting music in front of the library. They're setting up an illegal encampment. I'm just trying to walk around.
Encampment.
There's an actual sign right there that we've already filmed from the university.
Ow!
Just struck me with an umbrella. Is this harassment and intimidation?
Well, there's an intent to strike.
From a legal perspective, are they allowed to intimidate me, not let me in? I would consider this harassment. You're really blocking me. All right. Well, they have no facts on their side, and they certainly don't have any law.
It's a brave thing to do. I mean, you could hear he's assaulted. The hatred of him because he's Jewish is the very thing, of course, that the left pretends to hate itself, which is racism and bigotry. So how does it go from bad history, history with an agenda against Israel, against the Jewish people, into college students and outside agitators demonstrating that we will beat, albeit non-lethally at this point, praise God, beat Jews for walking on college campuses? It can only be spiritual. We have a God who pursues us, who loves us, who wants us back in the family. If we've not yet given our life to Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior and act that way, he wants us back. And he's creating a choice. He's allowing a choice. The hatred or the imperfect love of our hearts in pursuit of a relationship with him, wherein he can sanctify us, and we will backslide, and we will struggle with the things that our flesh wants, and he will still pursue us. This is the son of the Hamas leader of a terrorist group, and he has his view on the Palestinian people.
Now we have the problem with the pro-Palestine, who are actually given Hamas cover. They are participants in the crime. In fact, since October 7, I personally don't differentiate between Hamas and what's so-called Palestinians. Because actually there is no Palestinians. There are tribes. There is a tribe of Hamas, and there is a tribe of the Islamic Jihad, and there is a tribe of Khalil, and there is a tribe of Nablus. And each one has different interests, and all of them are conflicted. If they did not have Israel as the common enemy, they would kill each other.
That's a common refrain. I think it's an accurate one. That this Palestine, so-called, has been set up as a buffer between the many warring, otherwise warring nation states in the Middle East. A buffer. Remember that Egypt has a massive wall between themselves and what we're to call Palestine. Massive wall. They don't let people in, period. Eva Vladenbroek is a commentator from Europe, and she's risen to some fame. She speaks common sense about immigration. She is photogenic. She is smart. I think God equipped her for a role like this. She speaks a truth that we're not to speak. That is that part of this, from a political basis, is to replace voters with new opinions. They don't like the voters who don't like the elites. They want voters who will thank the elites for everything. They want voters who want government to give them everything, because when government is powerful enough to give you everything you need, it is powerful enough to take away everything you need. I think that's to say government powerful enough to give you everything you want. God's the only one who can give us everything we need. She speaks about the replacement theory, which is not a theory. It's for real. It's happening in the United States, and it's happening in Europe. And the point, again, is to change mindsets. They're tired, the elites, of trying to change our mindsets. They're tired of us not doing everything they want us to do. So bring people in with their attitudes and their religions and their hatred of your society so you can better divide a society and better control it.
And other Europeans will, of course, follow suit soon if they haven't already. So I'm going to draw the forbidden conclusion here. The great replacement theory is no longer a theory, it's reality. And what's interesting about replacement is that the establishment will either deny its existence, or when they admit to it, they say that it's a good thing that the native European population is soon no longer a majority on its own continent. Dutch national disgrace and dubbed climate pope Frans Timmermans already stated in 2015 that diversity is humanity's destiny and that Europe will be diverse. And of course, by now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you. Imagine this in an Asian or an African country. Imagine their leaders rejoicing in the fact that their people will soon no longer be a majority in their own country. Absolutely unthinkable.
It is unthinkable. And in fact, if white people were bragging about going and taking over, let's say, oh, pick a country. Let's just decide we go take over Chad. Just pulling a nation out of the hat. And then we start bragging about it. Oh, look, we're taking over Chad. Of course, it would be a huge controversy. When we talk about 10-year-olds being conned to hate the Jewish people, to hate the state of Israel, then we point out that it's happened at college campuses. That's disturbing enough, but it's also in the Mockingbird media. Satan built an army, a comms team, communications team, a legal team, and now he's building teams within families, dividing nations. Our solution, of course, is the Word of God. As the firmest of all foundations, it's also to make sure our kids and grandkids look and see the hatred, and that we say to them, if it can be done to the Jewish people, it can be done to us. God is love. He's light. In him, there's no darkness at all. We'll continue on The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you missed the last segment, know that AFR.net is home for this, that you can stream these programs. And people who are monthly supporters get access to all of it at AFR.net. So many reasons to be a monthly supporter. One of the biggest ones is we speak God's word into these issues. Well, that's the biggest one. There's also the fact that radio is this very special medium where people accidentally tune in. Your dollars, your monthly donations means that someone in a rental car on the way to a funeral at a moment where God has an opportunity to reach into their heart may in fact turn on AFR and think they're listening to news, and they are, but then they hear the word of God. You have the opportunity to help us, let God work through us, the hosts, to bring the word of God into people who don't even expect it. A surprise attack. It's not an attack. A surprise sharing of the gospel. There is a phrase that I really want us to remove from our vernacular as it relates to government these days. Because of the times in which we live, and because of what God is allowing to happen, there's a phrase that I think we mentally have in our minds. And I compare it to a book I talk often about, and I use the material often in relation to politics. It's a book called The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker. Gavin DeBecker grew up in a deeply dysfunctional home with a mom who sadly dated a whole series of men, and she was often abused by them. He had an abusive father. He grew to understand when a situation was going to become what we would say, what military people would call kinetic, physical. And in understanding that, he could warn his mom and his sisters and get them out of the circumstance before mom or his sisters got beaten. So he founded a company, and he's become very, very well regarded in the personal protection industry, and he's now become a bit of a commentator. Well, he should commentate because our world is abusive right now. So the tools of abusers, gaslighting, crazy making, isolating, they are the tools of abusers, not just in domestic circumstances, that is, and within families, broken families, but within our world. So we're given the gift of fear. When we can sense that someone doesn't mean us well, that they probably don't. That's a fear we should listen to. There's also this, though. The human psyche, in order to survive mentally, will say things like, well, they would never do that. This is not happening. My friend, who is a retired Special Forces, Michael Rourke, you've heard him on this program, he teaches people how to guard themselves physically. Now, he's shifted his focus from international security to people at home because of what's going on in the cities. He wants people to have situational awareness, and he says the first thing that you need to get rid of is denial. Says if you're in a shopping mall and you hear a couple of loud noises, your psyche is going to say, oh, those are fireworks. Those are something else. Those are not gunshots. He says, no, leave. Get up and leave. And if they're fireworks, so what? You cut your visit to the mall short. If they're gunshots, you were right. You may have saved your life. In relation to government, we're not to fear. So in this case, I break with the words gift of fear. Gavin DeBecker is talking about specific circumstances where violence is imminent against you. We have the gift of discernment. We're not to fear. God says, do not fear. He says it countless times because we do not need to fear those who can harm the body. So the phrase I want us to remove is something that occurred to me as I was watching some House Security Committee discussions with the Intel team, talking about a bit of a controversy in relation to neurological weapons. Are they real? I've read some people who understand neurology and weapons like this or the theory of weapons like this, and they've said, no, there's nothing like this yet. We don't have anything like this. I've read other people say we do. So I watched this testimony with some interest because it involves Republicans and Democrats who are not pretending to dislike each other. They really do dislike each other. But on this topic, they agree. So testimony on neuroweapons should be shocking, but it's not. Certainly not if you've stopped using the no longer applicable phrase, they would never do that, in relation to government. This is some testimony from the House Security Committee.
Guys, if your assessments here are correct, these are very covert weapons, aren't they?
That's correct. There's no entry or exit wound. How they're designed is to make the target feel like they're crazy, like they're imagining things.
And you guys also said that these attacks are happening right here in this city. Is that correct?
I mean, there have been some that have gone public with respect to Washington, D.C.
I think it was Mr. Grozev said you spoke to a Russian agent who said that they believe that Americans are using these same weapons on them. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Might that have something to do with part of the CIA's motive to cover up the existence of this tech and these weapons?
That is a very logical possibility.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
The gentleman yields. The chair now recognizes the gentleman from New York, Mr.
So the gentleman from New York has a question about these weapons, these neurological weapons, which can apparently confuse people, cause people to take rash actions, including violence. Now, again, I've read people who are experts in brain science and neurology, and I've read them say, this is all a hoax. This doesn't exist. This is an attempt to scare people. So I want to just provide balance on this. But would it be that the government would hide the existence of such things from us?
And Mr. Zaid, I want to ask, and this is a hypothetical, but I'm trying to understand why our government would try to block information sharing or conceal information that they have. And one thing that comes to mind is whether there's an operational risk to revealing any of the details of their investigation. Is that something that you have come across in any of your work?
There's a lot of reasons why the information might not be publicly released. And I do think that's something we could address more in a classified environment to explain that. But there are understandable reasons why the U.S. government has not revealed much of what it knows.
So that would mean then, reading between the lines, if it's an operational imperative that these people protect the existence of these neurological weapons, that would mean that we are using them. So remember how I began the segment, if you're just tuning in, I began the segment by saying, Gavin DeBecker wrote a book called The Gift of Fear, and it's about interpersonal relationships and when someone means you ill. For instance, when a stalker is going to become violent, what are the steps? What happens? Or in a home circumstance, when an argument is going to become, well, kinetic, that is, turn into fists, what's going to happen? So that was Mr. Goldman asking, why would the government block and conceal information about this? Lieutenant Colonel Ed Green urged the Senate to implement the Havana Act and the VA diagnostic codes for survivors of these attacks, with closing remarks by a guy who I can't believe I'm about to quote, Eric Solwell, who I fear. I don't fear because I don't live in fear because God tells us not to, but I don't think he should be on this committee. I believe he's deeply compromised. He had a relationship, perhaps sexual, with a Chinese spy, Chinese Communist Party spy, and he's still on the House Intel Committee. But he seems concerned about this as well. So, Lieutenant Colonel Ed Green.
There's some long-term things that need to be done in terms of new acts, but in the short term, we need to do things like implement the original Havana Act. Yeah. DOD still hasn't done it. They still have not implemented the Havana Act. And we need a VA diagnostic code. Thanks to the VFW brothers and sisters that are here today and for your meeting earlier, we don't have a VA diagnostic code for the 500-some DOD survivors. Yeah. How are they going to get long-term care and disability without that?
Yeah. Well, I hope this issue you see in a room that is often contentious, explosive, volcanic, that you've got members on both sides who first honor and salute the victims and want to do everything we can to make sure that they're made whole, and if they can return. And then, of course, as the victims have wanted to do, make sure we do everything possible to prevent anyone else from suffering from this. And I yield back. Thank you, Chairman.
So that was Eric Solwell. and actually sounding sober and alert. And in fact, sounding concerned. Now, people are redeemable. Perhaps Eric Swalwell is being redeemed. God can redeem anybody. The reason I asked us to even examine this idea that our government has these neurological weapons that can confuse people's minds and cause them to take irrational acts up to and including violence is because I think we do ourselves a disservice when we say our government would never do that. Here's why. Our government is importing people with the purpose of destroying our electoral college. They are doing it right before our eyes. They've tired of the populace not doing everything they say, so they're going to import people who will do anything they say. Who will, by their very bodies, not even voting, their very bodies will give more power to deeply, deeply communist cities. Seattle is a communist city. Los Angeles and San Francisco, they are communist cities. You can call it any name you want, authoritarian, leftist, progressive, but they're communist. They don't know that, but they are. Our government is doing that. Our government is obsessed with abortion on a massive industrial scale. Far more children, far more being sacrificed than were done in biblical times. At that point, being made to walk through fire or tossed into volcanoes. They did that. We do this. You can talk about many, many arrays of evil that is done through the government and understand when you remove the phrase, they would never do that, it all starts to make a little bit more sense as to why God would allow it. God is showing us, I think, look, where nothing is forbidden, all is allowed. And God can say, I forbid things. In the Garden of Eden, he provisioned Adam. Before he gave Adam responsibilities, he provisioned them. When Eve arrived, Adam had been provisioned, set up to care for her. And in addition to the provision, the bounty, there were boundaries. There was bounty and boundaries. Satan is showing us what it's like with no boundaries. One of the biggest ways of dividing people was, of course, the response to the COVID flu, which we probably made in a Chinese lab. And now we're being told that there's an avian flu, a bird flu, that's going to kill 20-25% of us. We'll see. I'm cynical about it. I don't believe it. Because there's no reason to believe so-called public health authorities in this country right now. A member of British Parliament named Colin Carey called out the dictator of Canada, Justin Trudeau, for the injection diktats, and the criticism here is absolutely spot on.
And no would-be government, globalist government, would be complete without trampling on fundamental human rights. Remember the lockdown, Mr. Speaker? Destruction of small Canadian businesses, vaccine mandates, the Prime Minister gleefully and enthusiastically creating an identifiable minority group and then proceeding to dehumanize, isolate, and bankrupt them. He used all government powers to restrict their participation in Canadian life. No travel, no restaurants, no church. Sign up for vaccine passports. Do what I say, Mr. Speaker.
Pardon me, not British Parliament, the Canadian Parliament, member of the Canadian Parliament, Colin Carey. They did that. So there's nothing at this point that the governments will not do. Do you agree? How do we respond? There's things we cannot do. We cannot hate them. When there are orders passed down by government that blatantly contradict the word of God, we cannot follow them, and yet we do. I really struggle with paying taxes to an abortion-obsessed government. I really do. And I do it because I want to err on the side of Romans 13. I want to err on the side of that. It was not lawful to give Jesus so many lashes, I've read. But they did it. The Lord allowed it. He didn't need to. There is going to come a point, though, where the government begins to issue orders that are blatantly ungodly. They're already doing it. When the government orders you to pretend a man is a woman, the government is saying you will lie. Our response to this has to be no. We are seeing in the case of college campuses, you will hate Jewish people. We need to say no. We're not going to hate any people. God says, love your enemy. Well, we're going to do that. We have to. If we're going to be Christians, if we're going to walk with God, we're not going to be the soft soap Christians against whom C.S. Lewis warned. There are bubbling up from the midst of the young people, there are signs of hope. There are young women who are beginning to understand how the phrase feminism has been used to con them, but at the same time, there are young women who are taking the notion of ferocious feminism and going over to social media where everybody can get a quick dopamine hit. Woo! Dopamine. Powerful hormone. And they're posting videos that contend to be empowering to women, contend to be powerful women speaking power to powerful women. But in fact, they are the language of defeat. As we continue, I want you to hear from one young woman who does understand how feminism is being used to destroy women, and another young woman counseling a girl who wants to, well, shout her abortion. That next in A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I feel like I've been a little cynical today. I'm not feeling that way. I'm feeling somber as I look at the degree to which our institutions have been, some would say, co-opted, compromised. I would say possessed. And I think God's making it very, very easy for us. If God was going to make an easier pass-fail test, what would he do? He might have, I don't know, the White House start hiring Satanists to hold it. Wait, they do that. God's making it so easy. One of the only other ways they could do this is to have a mentally ill man be put in charge of Health and Human Services. But wait, they've done that. A man who thinks he's a woman is running Health and Human Services. I think God's saying, guys, let me break it down for you. Here's the world with no boundaries, no limits, no love, no charity, no perseverance, other than to persevere in putting your face in the mud, with no patience, no actual tolerance. Here it is. This is the world, the godless world. On the other side, there is the church, imperfect because it's run by humans, but being sanctified by me. I think God's saying, guys, I want to make it easy to choose. Would that mean that God knows time is short? Well, there is no time to God. He's timeless. But he's the only one who knows the day and the time when it's too late. There are young people waking up. I consider it great news. Praise God. This young man, Gen Z, he's starting to get it, at least politically.
Joe Biden was just on CNN. He did nothing but lie. He talked about the current state of the economy and how it's doing so well right now. Here's a few things that were mentioned. Talked about a poll that was taken in Michigan, stating that 65% of people in Michigan said economically they're doing well, but believe the nation's struggling economically. How does that make sense? He stated that when he came into office, inflation was 9%. Another lie. Inflation was 1.4% when he came into office and was at 9% June of 2022. Biden was first in office June of 2021. So that's another lie. Since then, inflation has gone down to 3.4%. Groceries have gone up 30%. Nobody feels like the economy is getting any better. Wages are down, expenses are up. Before anything can go down, inflation needs to be below 2%. Otherwise, interest rates are going to stay the same. Stated Trump's never been successful and never added any new jobs. Before the pandemic, Trump added well over 9 million new jobs. 2 million 2 months before the pandemic. 95% of the new jobs that Biden so-called added to the economy just given back from the pandemic when they shut everything down. Biden also made a claim towards people saying that they're struggling economically right now. He said that's not the case because he said people have plenty of money left over to spend on other things. People are struggling right now for everyday essentials, so that's not true. CNN is the Democratic saving grace. They were even giving Joe Biden pushback for some of his responses. Because I guess supposedly his entire political career, he's been based off empathy because he's a family man. But he's basically calling the American people a bunch of liars for them saying that they're struggling in the Bidenomics.
So young men are getting it, Gen Z, at least politically. So why would this guy be such a liar? Because he has become the lie. I think Satan can turn us into the lie. Think again about God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word being Jesus Christ, of course, and the truth. Well, Satan is the polar opposite. His words are lies, and he's turning people into these lies. So that young man gets it at least politically, but we've got a long way to go. This is a response video, one young woman to another. The first young woman you're going to hear shows a positive pregnancy test and pretends to be in tears and then starts pouring herself some wine.
Oh my God, guys, I'm freaking out. What am I going to do? Just kidding, I already scheduled the appointment. I am what conservatives fear!
Pro-lifers don't fear you. You are similar to a child abuser, and adults don't fear child abusers, but we do fear for the children you're abusing. You don't scare me, although your behavior is extremely disturbing, but I fear for your son or daughter whose life has just been intentionally, directly, and laughably taken by you as an adult. For the people who just insist that women are not using abortion, the murder of their children, as a form of birth control, this one is for you.
Well said. And I love the fact that she spoke it, I think, with love. Well said. We've got work to do, and young people are getting into the work. Praise God. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people like Joe Biden on tall towers that just happen to be made of shaking sand in our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in
The Tower of Babbling.
We started talking today about a phrase I want us to banish from our vocabulary as it relates to our government, and that phrase is, they would never do that. I think they will do anything for power. And every once in a while, I think back to how hard they tried to sell people the modified RNA injections, which are killing people, probably 17 million people.
Free fries when you get vaccinated? I got vaccinated.
It's former mayor of New York.
You're saying I could get this? These delicious fries? Wait a minute. But there's also a burger element to this? Mmm. Vaccination. I'm getting a very good feeling.
Well, I'm glad that you didn't have a heart attack, like now the CDC has been forced to admit happens to at least 100 young people, some of them kids, because of myocarditis. They're being forced to admit these things. Incidentally, I eat hamburgers occasionally. I don't eat the bread. In fact, I ate one with a buddy on Thursday. No. What was Thursday? Had a burger with a buddy. Big one. But obesity is one of the big things that made people super sick with the COVID flu. And they knew that. Next up in today's Tower Babbling, MSNBC is the ultimate bubble land. Listen to them react to the reality that more people view Biden as a threat to democracy than Trump.
More independents said that they worry about President Biden weakening democracy than Trump, 53% to 42%. What do you make of this?
I find it shocking, honestly. I can't make sense of that number. I wish I could. I wish I had some really great insight to it. But I don't know if it's an outlier or not.
Well, he's trying to put his number one political opponent in prison. He lied about the border, pretending he's trying to stop the invasion. He is imprisoning people who stepped into the Capitol for 10 minutes and had their picture taken, even though they were allowed in, a 71-year-old grandma. There are other things we could help you maybe try to understand. He's allowing the college campus fiasco. He's funding both sides of a war. He's forcing people to pretend men or women. He's forcing parents to stand by as their kids are sexually and chemically mutilated. Maybe that could help you understand, but I don't think you're open to that information. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, Senator Bob Casey isn't excited to talk about Joe Biden's plans to remake Pennsylvania's Electoral College vote by importing huge numbers of people from Hamas territory in Gaza.
Senator Casey, do you support Biden's plan to resettle Gazan refugees in the United States? Senator Casey, do you support Biden's plan to resettle Gazan refugees in the United States? Do you think Biden should send Gazan refugees to Pennsylvania? Senator Casey, can I get a comment on that? Do you think that we should resettle Gazans in Pennsylvania, Senator Casey?
I think that's a no comment. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
We often end the show with a personal observation by me. It's just my way of sharing a bit of myself with you, since you're so kind as to spend all this time with us. And today, I want to just shift gears a little bit. It's a personal comment about me and my values and how they were formed. And I'm beginning to do a self-examination now as I look back and I look back at how my attitudes were formed as a young man. One of the ways that happened, of course, is through culture. And in my case, one of those bits of culture had to do with the Beatles. And I thought of a song that I used to think of as beautiful. It still is melodic. It's still great songwriting. You've heard it. It's Let It Be, written by Paul McCartney, performed by the Beatles, completely a Paul McCartney creation. And I used to think it was such wise, wise words.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Mother Mary, of course, yes.
And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
So we could be forgiven for thinking this is about the mother of Lord Jesus. Certainly Catholic people might think that. Paul McCartney recently gave an interview where he said, oh yeah, he knew what he was doing. He knew by using his mother's first name, Mary, and saying Mother Mary, he knew he was inviting that. He decided to leave that open. Paul's a genius. The Lord gifted Paul with not just musical ability, but business acumen, marketing acumen. He gets it. He knew exactly what he was doing when he used that phrase. It fits the melody. It fits the tempo of the song. It fits the cadence. So why not just toss it out there and let people interpret it?
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
So this is happening at a time as the Beatles were breaking up. And Paul says that really happened, that he saw his mother in a dream and she spoke these words to him, hey, let it be. And it was painful, of course, to be in the world's most famous band. To this day, I would argue, and I'll argue with anybody on this, that modern pop music simply couldn't exist without what the Beatles did to it and for it, changing the forms of songwriting, expanding the chords it could use. In the studio, the inventiveness of they and Sir George Martin just blew the lid off of what people could do or couldn't do within studio environments. They didn't have to tour. They invented music videos. Yeah, the Beatles effectively invented music videos and to some degree music documentaries. And the song formed my belief that Paul McCartney was listening to words of wisdom. And then I heard this interview from him.
And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be.
So it's beautiful when the broken-hearted people of the world agree. There will be an answer? Well, what is it, Paul? There is an answer. So Paul McCartney gave an interview where he explained something about where he thinks he's going after he dies.
But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
John Lennon mocked this song. Mocked it because he was saying, "And now we let the angels sing." He and Paul were not at a period where they liked each other very much.
Let it be, let it be. Yeah, there will be an answer. Let it be. Let it be.
So in this interview Paul gave, he said that he was glad that his mother, who was named Marion, died when he was young. This is one of the ways in which he and John Lennon connected. John's mother was killed when she was young and he was young. He ended up living with his Aunt Mimi. In the case of Paul McCartney, he lived with his father. Paul said that his mother was Catholic, his father was Protestant, and he's so very glad that his mother christened him. So he is saved. I believe he used the phrase, "So she punched my ticket for me." Oh, how I wish. I wish I could get to Paul McCartney and say, "Paul, thank you for the music. I now understand that you are writing from an almost completely cold commercial perspective, aside from the inspiration, seeing your mother in a dream. And God has gifted you. And in the closing years of your life, you could actually steward this gift to bring people to him. But that would have to start with you bringing yourself to him. Being christened all those years ago and spending your time now apart from God and sometimes denying God openly and certainly never confessing Christ. Paul, I don't think your ticket's been punched to heaven. I think you're headed to another place, the only other destination. As I look back on how my attitudes were formed and I hear these songs come up on my playlist, it's so interesting now just to think back on how God has intervened and said to me, no, there is a real truth. And you won't find it in music like that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God decides you and I can speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been a Disciples View.